We're going to Blue Jays talk it up right up to the top of the hour. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And we start in the Flatlands. Eric in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, listening on 1530 CJYM. Eric, welcome to the Blue Jays talking the leadoff man.
Hi, Mike. Did you say 1530 or did you say 1330?
I say 1530 because that's what's on my screen.
Oh, I believe it's 1330.
Oh, anyways, okay, pardon me.
Yeah, no problem.
No, thank you for the correction. I want our affiliates to be happy. Can
well,
we?
Exactly. Yeah. First of
what
all...
What city are they out of?
Pardon me? Sorry?
What city are they out of?
You know what?
Rosetown, perhaps?
Rosetown is one of them, and Kindersley is the other.
Kindersley?
1330 and 1210. I forget which is which.
All right. Now all our listeners who travel to Saskatchewan know where to find the Blue Jays.
Absolutely.
Thank
and
you, Eric.
1190 in the southern part of the province has all the games as well. That's from Weyburn.
Excellent.
But anyways, I wanted to say a thrilling game. Like my wife said, it would have been nice to be a little less thrilling, but we'll take the win for sure.
That's also, right. But really, how many nervous ninths have there been this year? Almost
no, not,
none.
Not enough, to be honest with you. It'd be nice if we had more nervous victories. And the times we do win, it's usually pretty calm. Jansen's been, you know, outstanding. That's for sure.
Yeah, the Blue Jays have had one blown save in the ninth inning all season long.
Yeah, I know. It's been outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I wanted to talk about Emilio Bonifacio. Was
sure.
he on your short list for player of the game tonight?
He was, I mean, the pitching was, it came up so huge. But yeah, Emilio Bonifacio was ahead of Kawasaki for me because of that throwing error. But Emilio Bonifacio is actually the subject of my column on sportsnet590.ca tonight. So there you go.
Oh, I'll have to read it. But he would have been my vote because I have to say, earlier in the game when it felt like we hadn't scored a run in like, you know, a week, even though it's only been a game and a day off. But when he got that big base hit to actually put us on the board, I was just thrilled because I was thinking to myself, who on the Blue Jays do I least want at the plate in a crucial situation? And I actually thought Bonifacio was kind of the top of that negative list. So he.
I think Bonifacio or Josh Tolley would absolutely be at the top of that list.
Yeah, and he came through. And then he also came through with a huge walk just before Kawasaki's hit. So I... you know, I'm glad that he was proving me wrong tonight anyways. That was awesome. And I had a scoring question for you.
Sure.
If a runner scores because of a wild pitch, that's an earned run. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and if a runner scores because of a passed ball, that's an unearned run. Is that right?
Not necessarily.
Oh.
If a runner scores because of a passed ball and then the inning continues to its conclusion and that
right.
run would not have scored had it not been for the passed ball...
Yeah.
Then it's an unearned run. But
right.
if a guy scores from third on a pass ball and the next guy singles, it's an earned run.
Right, okay. And that's what I figured. But the other question I didn't know about was if a run scores in the ninth inning, for example, because a base runner steals second on defensive indifference and then comes around to score, is that an earned run?
Absolutely.
Even though it was defensive indifference?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
There was no error involved. There was no mistake. They let him take it, so it should absolutely be an earned run. I mean, you shouldn't get off the hook because you allowed someone to go to advance a base uncontested.
Yeah, no, I understand. It just seems like a little cheap for a closer in some situations. You know, not
well, then hold the runner.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's
you
fair,
know,
fair enough point.
Get the guy out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, have a good night, Mike. And,
okay. Thank
keep
you.
Keep up the great work.
All right, appreciate the call, and appreciate all our listeners out there in Central and Western Canada. Definitely, we don't hear from you guys enough. Blue Jays beat the Indians 5-4. This was a 2-2 tie going into the ninth inning here in Cleveland. Yosef is in Thornhill. You're on the Blue Jays Talk, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
How you doing?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, big fan of yours. Listened to you growing up. Want to make a couple points.
Wait a minute. Did you just say you listened to me growing up?
Yeah.
That hurts.
Okay,
wow.
You've been on the radio for how many years now? What? So there's got to be at least 10.
This is my 12th year doing the Blue Jays talk. It's true.
Okay.
All right.
Been there from the beginning. So a couple points. I thought Gibbons managed the game very well. compared to, you know, Francona keeping in Masterson in there in the seventh inning. So I thought that was very, you sort of appreciate the man, you know, Gibbons as a manager, how he managed the bullpen. That was, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. And
I hear a lot after the fact. You know, there are a lot of hindsight things. Well, he left him in one batter too long, or, you know, when really the situation called for it. Terry Francona legitimately left Justin Masterson in two batters too long today. You could see that he was done when he was facing, when that walk to Meiser Esturiz, the earlier bat to Jose Bautista where he almost killed him with a couple of pitches, he had just totally lost the plate. And, yeah, that was very odd to see Francona leave him in there for two extra hitters.
And it's another question, sort of, like, your opinion. Second base, you know, Kawasaki obviously has a good game, Bonifacio. But, like, these guys are hitting .215. Long terms. Chase Utley, you know, if we're ever going to be competitive, where do you see this team going at second base? Or, do you see Lowry ending up there? Or, like, do you see Chase as a good fit? What are you thinking with regards to long-term at second base?
I think Brett Lowry is a long-term second baseman, and I'm stunned to hear those words come out of my mouth. But based on what John Gibbons said before the game today, based on how good he's been at second in Buffalo and that one game in Dunedin, and he's got 2 years under his belt as a minor league second baseman, and just generally how good the defense has been, I really think they're going to put him there and leave him there.
But, the time he's been up, the guy has an amazing arm at third. He just plays so great defensively. It's just hard to, doesn't feel like you're sort of using it to a full advantage, putting a second with that arm, and how you play defensively.
The arm is great, but the range is great too, and it's underutilized at third base, and you don't touch the ball nearly as often at third as you do at second. I'm starting to come over to that side. I was badly against it, but you know, you see the many, many more touches. The arm, very helpful on double play turns. And it's, I think it's easier to go out and find a third baseman than it is to go out and find a second baseman.
Right, but you don't see Bautista ending up a third, right?
No, or Encarnacion, neither of them.
Right, okay, thanks a lot. Have a great night.
All right, thank you. Thank you for making me feel old. The Blue Jays beat the Cleveland Indians 5-4. We continue with the Blue Jays talk all the way to the top of the hour. Sam in Toronto. Sam, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike. I just got a couple things to touch on here before I get your thoughts on this. First of all, it's not news to anyone, but Esmil Rogers, that's a heck of a find. And I think when Hap's ready to come back after the All-Star break, that could potentially, and once Morrow's healthy, that could create a bit of an awkward situation for the fifth man.
I don't think Hap's going to be ready to come back after the All-Star break.
When are you thinking?
August, maybe.
Well, that surprises me. Jansen, I'm just going to go ahead and tentatively chalk up the last two outings to the fact that he's gotten very little work lately. But I just wanted to ask you about Kawasaki here. Baseball decision, he's probably going to get sent down again. But I wasn't a big fan of it, though I couldn't come up with a valid reason really not to, other than the fact that I like him and the other fans like him and the team likes him. But I'm not trying to rag on Bonifacio here because he had a great game today. But, Bonifacio, he's got the track record, but we're 90 games in now, and I think we can maybe not, you can probably say this isn't going to be his season. Next year, who knows? But Bonifacio and Kawasaki, they're at the point here where it's basically six of one, half dozen of the other. They're going to hit for a similar average. Kawasaki's going to give you a better at bat, maybe get on a little more. When Bonifacio gets on, he's going to swipe a bag. Neither's a defensive whiz. But Kawasaki's, he's the clubhouse guy. I've got a feeling I know what you're going to say, but I just want to get your thoughts on what the situation is between those two, and if there should be any thoughts between choosing Kawasaki over Bonifacio.
There shouldn't. There shouldn't. And you know what I'm going to say, right? You know why.
Yes, I have a feeling I do, but
if they choose Kawasaki, they lose Bonifacio. He leaves the organization. He is gone. If they choose Bonifacio, Kawasaki's in AAA and he comes back on September 1st or the next time somebody else gets hurt.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
It's the truth.
It was
you know
just
what?
A thought No,
and I understand. And like I told Eric, Bonifacio is the focus of my column on Sportsnet.ca tonight, and hopefully you'll read it and you'll enjoy it, and you'll see that he for 3 years prior to this season, there's 3 years in the major leagues, this guy hit .280 with a .345 on base, a switch hitter who stole 82 bases in 96 tries over 3 years. This is not someone that you say after he's had a crappy half season, and boy, has he ever had a crappy half season. You'll also see in the column that he's third worst in the major leagues in OPS among players with at least 225 plate appearances this year, and there are 219 of them. He's third worst. But that's not a guy in his late 20s that you kick to the curb after a crappy half season.
Yeah, see, that was, it's sort of my heart, I think a lot of people, my heart is in one place and my brain's in another place.
Right, but, and if you follow your heart, that's when you make mistakes in sports. When if you're running a team and you allow, you allow your heart to get in the way, you allow your emotions to overtake your brain, that's when you screw up. And that's what Alex Anthopoulos is really, really good at not doing.
I agree with you. And I mean, it's probably, you can chalk it up to the change of scenery. It happens all the time when players switch leagues, when players switch teams. See, look at what Michael Kadire is doing in his second season in Colorado, Josh Hamilton in his first season in L.A. Happens all the time, so who knows what the story is. But I appreciate the insight.
All right, and I understand where you're coming from. I really do. I do, and I know that a lot of fans feel the same way. But I think when it comes down to it, you want to keep as many assets as possible in your organization. Long-term, Emilio Bonifacio gives you a ton more than Munenori Kawasaki does. And again, if Kawasaki is the one that goes, they're both still in the organization. Well, Kawasaki went the time before, and he was down for 48 hours, and then somebody got hurt, and he came right back. So this time he may be down for 6 weeks, but you know he'll be back September 1st at the absolute latest, if not sooner. Tony is in Etobicoke listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
All right, go ahead.
Looks like another chapter in the Kawasaki legend for the year.
Yeah, other than the fact that he almost threw the game away afterwards.
Yeah. Anyways, I want to just bring a couple of points up to you. The bullpen, do you think these guys are starting to wear down, or they're starting to get overworked a bit here due to the Cecil performance today, or is it just like an off day for the guy today?
Cecil got squeezed a little bit, but really, he should have been out of that inning. The two-out RBI single was a weak ground ball up the middle that hopped over Cecil's glove, and then it hopped over Jose Reyes's glove. They both should have had it. Reyes for sure should have had it.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, that should have been a shutout eight, then there you go.
Yeah, I understand.
He's human.
Mike,
he's not going to pitch. He's not going to go through another 0-for-40 run, I don't think.
No. I'm not saying that. But the numbers here are suggesting that these guys are on pace to pitch almost 600 innings. That's why I'm a little concerned here. Are these guys starting to
wear
down?
How many of them individually are on pace to pitch a crazy amount of innings?
Well, I don't know the individual, but collectively the bullpen is on pace for that. That's what I
read.
Right,
but there are nine guys in the bullpen. Now there are eight, and at various points in the season there have been nine. If you look at how often they've pitched, Casey Jansen is on pace to pitch less than 60 innings this year. Brett Cecil's on pace to pitch about 82 or 83. Loop about 85. Delabar about 80. Darren Oliver about 50. So, no, I'm not concerned with any of them.
Okay. And just one last thing very quickly I want to ask you. How about this scenario when Brett Lurie returns? Of trying to put Encarnacion on third base as a full time, and maybe free up a DH spot for Melky Cabrera to keep him off the turf.
I don't think that's a good idea. This is like you would put Adam Lind. No, you put Lind at first. So
yeah.
So you're trying to pull Cabrera off the field. No, yeah, if Melky Cabrera's legs can't take it, Melky Cabrera's legs can't take it. I don't think. I don't think it's worth the potential. Screwing up of Encarnacion by making him an everyday third baseman again. This is one for me. This is one of those,
right? Okay,
pardon?
Yeah, a decent showing during the national.
Yeah, but he knew it was only going to be every once. He knew it was only going to be every once in a while.
Okay, okay, that's.
You know, you tell him that this is yours for the next 70 games for 2 months. You're going to be our third baseman. There might be a bit of an issue.
Okay, okay, that's fine, Mike. Thanks,
okay.
Thanks a lot, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. For Edwin, I'm in the if it ain't broke, don't break it school. Same with Brett Cecil. Matt is in Bakersfield, California, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Blue Jays beat the Indians 5-4 today. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, it's crazy how every Blue Jays fan thinks he knows how to manage the bullpen there. But,
every sports fan of every team thinks they know better than the people who are actually running it.
I mean, maybe... AA should go and contact some of these fans, try and get them as a coach. Nah, I'm just kidding. But
look, if you listen to the fans, Edwin Encarnacion would have been released. Adam Lind would have been released. Colby Rasmus would have been released. Jose Bautista
would have been fired.
Right. Chad Mantola would have been fired. John Gibbons never would have been hired. Jose Bautista wouldn't be on this team. J.P. Arencibia would be released. Emilio Bonifacio would be released. And it would basically be Munenori Kawasaki playing for this team, and that would be it.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Well, the reason why I called was just to ask you a couple questions. I was watching the game there, and I noticed looked like the security was escorting out a Blue Jays fan.
I have no
idea. It
looked
like some of the fans were getting rowdy. Is that true, or did I see that wrong? Did someone get escorted out there?
I don't know. I'm not watching the game on television, right? So I'm at a bit of a disadvantage as far as that kind of stuff is concerned. I saw nothing. I heard nothing. Didn't see anything on Twitter. I have a good friend tonight who was in the stands today who's on Twitter. He didn't say anything about it. So I don't know.
Oh, well, I may have seen it wrong. It just seemed like after that point, all of a sudden there was this USA chant and seemed like... the Cleveland fans were trying to get back at the rowdy Blue Jays fans. It was nice to see all the fans there, too. It was a lot of Jays fans.
It's terrific to see that. I love it. I find the USA chants to be hilarious.
Me too. I live in California. I'm Canadian, I know.
Right. I think it's insane. When they, they had... they had a Venezuelan at the plate. We had an American pitching against him, and they're chanting USA, USA. I love the fact that the Canadian fans were chanting, "We have health care." I think that was terrific. But it's a really fun environment, and it's been great to have all these Blue Jays fans here. I hope some of them move along to Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome. And, I hope we get a good showing out when you guys come out to Anaheim, because Ushers will be there, and it'd be nice to see some rowdy Blue Jays fans.
Well, there were plenty of them in San Diego, so who knows? Maybe some of them will do a little bit of a Disney World trip.
Probably. Well, a lot of us Canadians are out here in California, so hopefully some of us will poke our heads out. I was at a hip concert in Anaheim, and it was nothing but Canucks, so we'll see.
Glad to hear it. Thank you, Matt.
When
I crossed the border yesterday and had to go to U.S. Customs, they had the hip playing in their office. How about that? I was very impressed. Blue Jays beat the Cleveland Indians 5-4. There will be a rubber game tomorrow. R.A. Dickey against Danny Salazar, who's making his Major League debut. It's an afternoon game. We're on at noon. And let me remind you that tomorrow, the hashtag #RaiseTheBar on Twitter counts as a vote for Steve Delabar between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you tweet with the hashtag #RaiseTheBar, that's a vote. Last we saw, Steve Delabar was leading the American League final vote. He got his first big league save tonight. It took him one whole pitch. Let's see if we can get him into the All-Star game. Andrew is in London listening on News Talk CJBK. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Mr. Roller. I just want to ask you, on Monday here on the radio, they had the London Majors, his minor league team. The general manager was on. He's a big Jays fan, but he was talking about the problems with the team. And two of the statistics he used, where they're in trouble. He said they are last 30th of 30 teams in turning double plays. Is that correct or not?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Oh, I'll have to check that out.
I think this is why Lurie is going to second base, is what I'm trying to say.
I don't think that's why Brett Lurie is going to second base. I think there are a lot of other things that are involved defensively
there.
Well,
where are they in double plays then?
They have turned... I'll tell you this. This is what I know for sure. The rest I will try to look up for you. The Blue Jays going into tonight, have turned 74 double plays. Their opponents have only turned 66. Mm-hmm. So it seems odd to me that they would be 30th among 30 in double play turns. Again, I'm trying to look it up for you. Okay. I can't snap my fingers.
And his other No. You can do it tomorrow. It's okay.
I need to get you an answer. Are you kidding me?
It's not that important. The other stat that he came up with is that they list as 21st in fielding.
Yeah, fielding, don't come to me with fielding, I have to tell you.
Oh, sorry.
Because fielding percentage doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
And it's a stat that...
The point he made was, if you look at the teams at the top of their divisions, all of them are in the top
doesn't matter.
Of fielding. Because
fielding, it doesn't, really, because fielding percentage is a stat that lies. Rather blatantly.
Yes, it probably does. But tonight, when Kawasaki fields that ball and throws it, 6 feet over the first baseman's head, that's fielding, right?
Well, but tonight when Jose Reyes lets a ground ball get through should completely have had, that's fielding, but it doesn't show up in any fielding stats because it counts as a single.
Okay. I don't know. I'm asking you. You're the expert.
I'm telling you that fielding percentage is a horribly, horribly flawed stat. Okay, and I'm telling you also, here's something else. I found it for you. Double plays turned. The Blue Jays are 10th in the major leagues in turning double plays.
How did he get this 30th thing?
Don't know.
Oh, well, me neither. But then
the team that is 30th is the Oakland Athletics.
Oh, okay. You say fielding doesn't matter.
Who happened to be in first place?
Oh, okay. But you shouldn't be 21st.
Pardon me?
I mean, 21st in fielding. That doesn't look good, does it?
But again, fielding percentage doesn't mean anything.
But except the winning teams are all in the top in fielding. They are. He went down the list.
Didn't I just tell you that Oakland, Oakland is in first
place?
That's
in double plays. We're talking fielding.
Okay. Well, you know what? I have to take a break, but keep listening, and I will look up fielding percentage and where the leaders are, and when we come back off the break, I'll fill you in on that, because again, fielding percentage is a terrible, terrible, terrible statistic, and Pittsburgh has second best record in the major leagues. They're 26th, so there you go. We gotta go. Blue Jays beat the Indians 5-4. We'll come back and put a nice pretty bow on this one. It is the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. It's a Honda postgame show here in Cleveland. Blue Jays beat the Indians 5-4. One of these days I'm going to have to just write a treatise on why fielding percentage is awful. I thought that was commonly held across baseball fandom. Terrible, terrible, terrible stat. Anyway, tonight the Blue Jays beat the Indians 5-4. The series wraps up tomorrow. We're on at noon Eastern for a 12:05 first pitch. R.A. Dickey looking for his ninth win of the year up against the Indians' Danny Salazar, who's making his Major League debut. So please come out and join us, and we'll bring you some baseball. Also vote for Steve Delabar. You've been listening to Home Hardware, Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Cleveland!